So now we're having a Q&A, is that correct? And if you have a question, Bill's the man. And he'll answer it. Oh, I didn't tell you that.
To use the microphone mindfully, you've got to hold it quite close.
Thank you. I wanted your opinion. I'm very new to this, and throughout your talk, I couldn't stop fidgeting.
Couldn't stop fidgeting, right?
And I really wanted to listen, and I really wanted to just be calm and take everything you said in. And I have not been able to sit still.
Yeah.
And I'm rested, and I'm fed, and I'm awake.
Right.
And I just wondered what was going on there.
What do you think was going on there? Obviously, you're aware of it because you're telling me about it. So what was going on there?
I really don't know. I felt I wanted to be as calm as you.
Right.
And I struggled.
Yeah, I struggle with that too. Yeah, it's not exactly cafe sitting, is it? Yeah. There's a phenomena that takes place. When we start to become aware of something, we see new aspects of ourselves. That's why when people start taking up the practice of sitting meditation, they'll start out, oh, this is calm and peaceful, this is nice. But after a little while, they often come up to me and go, you know, this isn't working. My mind is getting busier and busier. But the thing is, the mind isn't getting busier and busier. It's just that you're becoming more and more aware of the subtleties that you don't normally see. So your mind has always been that busy. You just weren't aware of it. So it could be that, one, you're just not aware. You haven't been aware. Now you're more aware. Now you're seeing things you haven't seen before. Yeah. We think we know ourselves. We don't really. And as we take up the practice of awareness and bringing our minds more attention to something, we see the more of the details and the subtleties we haven't seen before. Could be that. Could be you could have had too much tea and coffee. No, wasn't that? Okay. Yeah. The mind and the body are so interconnected. We think the mind and the body are separate. Emotions are a physical thing, right? So it could be impatience. It could be a host of things. It could be something about your childhood, you know. Don't know. But the important thing is you do. And so this is where the exploration comes in. You know? And it isn't always, I'm going to explore this, there's the answer. You know, we want quick answers. Sometimes it takes a long time for things to reveal themselves in that awareness. But it's a good thing you're aware of that, right? Yeah. Yeah, see the thing is, don't get caught in wanting not to be fidgety. Okay, so it's that sort of, I don't want to be fidgety. So I'm going to do whatever I can not to be fidgety. And you're just creating more fidgety. But be okay with the fidgety. There I am. There it is. And I'm okay with that. Yeah, you'll discover more that way. Don't fight. Just accept fidgety.
I'm struggling with the notion of acceptance in all cases, in that I suppose I'm taking it as condoning things that I believe are wrong or that I'm very sure are wrong, and it might be in relation to me or it might be in relation to other people. And my, I think in the past I've accepted in a very sort of passive and letting myself be victimized way, so I'm still learning to, as I see it, stand up for myself. Yes. In the face of that. And yes. You could read that in the things you're talking about in the news on a global level. Yeah. So I'm struggling with how you would combine acceptance. I'm sure you're right, but I just can't get it.
I understand where you're coming from. Yeah. How can you accept things and have a position on something? Or having a view on something? Or take action about something, right? Okay, acceptance doesn't mean, in this case of practice, does not mean you agree or that you like something or you have to like something. Acceptance means there it is, and accepting that this is what it is. That doesn't mean not to it's not a passive thing. People think that if you look at things equanimous, that you don't care. That if you see two sides of things, you don't care. Or you don't understand. That's not true. Being accepting things allows an openness within you. We're talking about internal acceptance of something. So we don't get caught up in our anger towards something, right? So that acceptance is about that internalization of any given thing. That doesn't mean like, I totally accept what all the politicians are doing. That doesn't mean, I think you guys are wrong. Or it doesn't mean not speaking out. See, there's this interesting phenomenon that I like to tease the activists with when I speak to activists. And that is, there is this kind of weird understanding is if you're not totally emotionally vested in something, totally disgusted about something, loathing that something, that you're not an activist. Right? That's why we have so many angry, burnt out activists. It's like, you gotta be miserable to take action. Yeah, some people are shaking their heads, right? What if, okay, I see this is pretty crappy. All right, it is. Now, I'm willing to roll up my sleeves and work towards something. So it's a different mind shift. You're coming from a place of calmness and equanimity rather than anger, frustration, fear, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you can handle the waves of difficulties that way. So accepting, in this case, is about internalizing for reconciliation of your own emotions, your own thoughts, your own internal stories. But it doesn't mean, oh, you're a murderer and I have to accept you and what you do. No, that's something different.
I think the fear in me is it would take me so long to find a place of equanimity that I've sort of missed the boat in responding.
That's why we practice. Of course it isn't. Because you're not trained, you're not practiced. In the Buddhist literature, the Buddha make distinction between the trained mind and the untrained mind. And so that's why I've taken up the practice, so that I can develop that and come from a good place instead of a frantic mind place that I grew up with. Yeah. So, but it's training, it's practice. That's why we call it practice. To develop that within us and to the point where it becomes a natural thing. Yeah.
Thank you.
So keep practicing.
think we've got time for about one more. It's going to be difficult.
We'll get you.
So, coming from a place of struggle, why should I care to be emotionally free? As in everyday life, there's a lot of different things that are pulling my attention. There's good food, there's friends, there's work, there's becoming an intelligent being, there's yada, yada, yada. And there's taking your time and meditate and enjoying a bit of freedom. And at least for me, there's a certain amount of struggling with keeping the curiosity or the attraction of wanting to be emotionally free. Like, it's sort of, I'm well over the beginner enthusiasm hump, so to speak.
Yay. How do you define, I'm not sure what you talk about, emotional freedom. Being free, not being free from emotions.
So basically, how do I keep being interested in practice? If you want to be more like bang on.
Say that again once more.
How do I keep being interested or curious or fuel the interest for the practice over food, friends, becoming intelligent?
Well,
you know.
Well, one, all those things are practice. Our everyday life is practice. The emotion I get being in front of people and being a rather shy individual and everything that goes with that, that's practice, that's there. My curiosity in life is there. Yeah, so it's not, people get this idea that being free of emotionalism is like having no emotions or not reacting to emotions. Yeah, that emotionalism is when the emotions drive you, like anger or frustration and whatnot. On a good side, maybe your compassion drives you. Right? So it's not so much we don't want to have emotions, but being with that emotion. Okay? Having curious, I'm a very curious individual. That's part of the whole thing of being free. Allowing myself to have that, other than thinking about things, oh, I know that it's this way, I know it's that way. Now I have this openness to where that curiosity just comes up. That's a good thing. So I don't know if I got to the core.
It's not so much that I'm worried about losing emotion or losing curiosity. Right. Is that I am observing myself being less interested or intrigued by meditating or by the mindfulness practice, in that I have tasted a little bit of equanimity and whatnot, and I know I can get that, but I'm also sort of torn with other
things of life.
Yeah, not bothering with the whole mindfulness shtick.
Yeah. Right. Yes. Yeah, even some of the monastics get caught up of this idea of practice and non-practice. In the tradition, the Chan and Zen tradition, there's no difference between sitting meditation and hanging out here talking to a crowd of people.
Don't you be mindful?
Yeah, I'm present. I think I'm present. Am I here? Yeah, I'm here. And so you need to broaden this idea of practice, non-practice. In Zen, it's called the seamless practice. And if you do that more, then what you do off the cushion affects what you do on the cushion. And what you do on the cushion affects what you do off the cushion. And when you bring those two things together, when you have that sort of openness you have on the cushion all day long, that's a seamless practice. But you can't get caught up in practice and non-practice, because that's like getting caught up in likes and dislikes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that just takes you all over the place. Or not. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, we have one last person here, right? I think.
Hello.
Hello.
I've been a bit confused lately about the difference between being mindful and just transferring your thought to, for example, with a cup of tea. I could be away somewhere in my head, and I know that's thinking and that's different, but if I'm thinking about I'm drinking a cup of tea and it tastes like this and the cup feels like this and so on, is that not also just thinking? I've just focused my cup of tea.
Yeah, yeah, you are. Yeah, we want to conceptualize everything. We want to put labels on everything. Drop the labels. Drop the inner dialogue. And just have that experience. Try not to name it or describe it. Just that experience. Truth to experience. Yeah. I call this a cup of tea. That's just language.
How much of your mind is that taking up? I mean, if there were a small fire starting behind you, would your focus, how much of your focus is on the experience?
That's a good question. How much is your focus on the experience? Because it's not always a matter of focus. Actually, sometimes it's a matter of not focusing. Because sometimes if the language is very, very challenging to explain human experience. I can bring that's why I use the word attention and not focus. Focus is very strong. You know, we focus on balancing our checkbook or doing specific, very tedious things or whatnot. Or maybe not tedious. Could be pleasurable things. But bringing our awareness, attention. Awareness is like a light bulb. It just radiates out, you know, like a light bulb. Our awareness just goes out in all 10 directions and registers things. So there's not a lot of energy to be aware of something. If you're using a lot of energy being aware of an object, you're using the wrong modality. Yeah, because awareness is just awareness. It's just there. It's just present for things to experience. Yeah, don't think too much. Just be the cup. Okay, good? Okay. We're finishing up? Yeah, I'm getting a signal over there. So I thank you for coming. You're all very brave or foolish. And I wish you all well on your path. And just keep going. Yeah, keep going. Keep living.
tell you something. When I was down at London doing the guided meditation, we had this wonderful guided meditation. Everyone, you could tell they were getting into it. And then afterwards, after I invited the bell, they all clapped. That was the first time I ever experienced that.